nowadays we all know that we're digital and we will be digital. The question is about the additional digital skills we need, about how to use your smart TV or how to manage your Wi-Fi fridge or smartphone, smartwatch. So there are other skills that are on the table and the future skills, and the constant learning in this world is really important.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Digital Government Podcast on digital skills. On this lovely winter day in Tallinn, we are going to take a look at what has changed over the last 20 years and what the future developments in the digital skills field look like, how Estonia has been truly engaging, I would say, and what role EGA has played. Your host today is Kristina Mänd. I'm working as a senior expert on digital engagement at the EGA. But I'm not here alone. With me is my colleague Kristi Kivilo, senior expert in capacity building and digital skills in the EGA. Hello, Kristi.
Hello, Kristina.
We've been working for a few years together, and quite often we do talk about digital skills. So I have a pretty good overview, but maybe not all our listeners do. So let's kick it off by talking actually what we mean by digital skills. Are we talking about top-level tech skills and programming, or do we talk about opening your phone and accessing your banking? So, Kristi.
Definitions for digital skills, there are lots of them, but I would say that digital skills are like a superpower, because if you can use computers and internet, the world is open to you. So there are different, as you mentioned, is it like expert level skills or lower ones? There are agreed levels that are basic level, advanced level and expert level. But they are superpower nowadays in our digital world. And it's like sending emails, opening apps, finding out information, being also safe online. And they help you in school, in work, in everyday, in social life. So I can't imagine my world without having digital skills nowadays.
But do you think it's important for people to understand what kind of digital skills they have or they need? Do they need to understand that basic level, advanced level, superpower level and so on? Or it's not actually even that important and it's more related to what you want to do and how you work and how you operate and how you socialize?
Yes, actually, you yourself know what you know and what you want to know. So you don't have to be an expert level in a work you do, I think. You could be, of course, but it's not mandatory. And if we talk about digital skills, we talk about skills, but it's a bit more than skills. It's about mindset and knowledge, and then it's skills. And mindset is about motivation. Why do I need the skills? So, for example, I can, from online safety world, there are a rule that you have to lock your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kristina, do you know how to lock your phone?
I do. And I also know how to unlock it, which is equally important, I think.
Absolutely. So you have a skill. But to have a skill, first you know, need the mindset, the motivation. You need to understand why it is important that you lock a phone. For me, for example, I have bank card information in my phone. It means that if somebody steals my phone, unlocks it because I don't have a passcode, they can steal my bank credentials and empty my bank account. So motivation for me is keep my things safe. So this is the one thing. And the next one is knowledge or information. I need to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are tutorials, YouTube, TikTok, you can learn. And if I know how to do it, I can do it on my phone. This is a skill. So actually, if we talk about digital skills in general, we do think about mindset, knowledge and skills in three part of that.
Absolutely. And in many ways, we can also look at it that if you don't probably nowadays have that basic skill set or don't have that mindset and don't know how to do it, you can become digitally very, very vulnerable, right? Because you can have a top-notch gadget, for example, but if you leave it unprotected or if you put your information out there and don't secure it, right, then you can be easily hacked. You know, somebody can go into your private things, right, or steal your money, and you become very, very vulnerable. But the mindset part is really important, because it's when people understand why they have to do something, it is much more likely that they take it really seriously. And they don't do it because Christy said so, or somebody else said so, or their mother said so, or son said so, but they do it because they really understand that this is how to protect themselves and actually their life and their privacy, right?
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you, because there's a thing like a nudging, that we can nudge people to lock a phone. But if they don't understand why they should do it, it's just a short-term solution for them, because locking a phone or unlocking it, maybe not so convenient. The parallel is that if you leave your house, you lock a door. Because you lock a door, otherwise somebody will go in and steal something.
And it's the same in the digital world, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely. But in addition to motivation and skills, you also talked about awareness. How do you raise people's awareness regarding digital skills? Do you do a campaign, or you actually, you know, go over to your colleague and say, look, this is what you can do better, or parents so that they can help their children, or to young people at school so that they can help their parents? What kind of awareness raising things there are regarding digital skills?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many. You can start with a high-level conference about mindset for high-level executives. You can talk in a parents' meeting at school. Kids actually can teach you about why this is important. So awareness about everything is very important, because this is a mindset and the first step to do something. So we should start with that.
And we talk about that a little bit later when we talk about Estonian examples, because Estonia probably has done a huge steps regarding that. But before there is another topic that digital skills always sort of brings me to think about, is whose responsibility it is, because we have new services coming up, we have new gadgets coming up, we have new methods coming up, new tools. Is it actually the responsibility of those who produce them, or is it the responsibility of the public sector to make sure that their citizens are safe, or is it my personal responsibility? The little devil in me says that it's a shared responsibility.
Yes.
But what is your take on that?
Yes, my word would be shared responsibility, because the individual has to do their job. You also mentioned the new services. If we talk about services, the service developer actually has to make the services usable and accessible for all the people. So, as our colleagues say, that the best service is the seamless one, the one you don't use, but we don't have those so much yet. So it's a responsibility of yourself. You have to learn. It's a responsibility for the employer, for service developer, but also I would say government level, that government should understand and focus that kids can learn digital skills at school. So this is the way they can do it. Otherwise, kids get out and know only. I've seen IT curriculums, digital skills curriculums for gymnasium, where we teach kids how to replace the keyboard. But this is not the digital skill nowadays. We need much more than that.
Yeah, because I would imagine that when we talk about the digital skills at that level, we don't really talk about those kind of technical skills, like how to do something technically. I mean, I'm probably digitally pretty skilled person, but I don't, for example, know certain things how to do with my phone, but I only need it once a year. So I go to Apple service and ask them to do it. But there are things how to keep myself secure, what kind of information to take, how to share it. So it's more like the cybersecurity skills that I would even say that probably are really important, where the responsibility lies.
We talk about the cyber hygiene, cyber security. we maybe use more words like online safety. It's right. more understandable yes. because cyber yes. is like feels high level.
A very high level,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah. It's actually the same. So mm-hmm. The cybersecurity, online safety starts from you. You can have excellent, perfect firewalls, critical infrastructure. But if a person in that institution pushes the wrong button and downloads some BDF, this one can hack all the system. So it's down to you, actually, to also keep the organization, your government, your school, your workplace safe, to understand what you are doing online. Social engineering, disinformation, misinformation, right. and so on. This is an absolutely new topic. And I think for the past 5 years, I've been really high level in understanding. In Estonia, we started online safety trainings, I think 9 years ago. We called it smart device safety because we saw that a lot of smart devices came and people used them, but they didn't think of a smart device as a computer. So we focused on smart device safety, that lock your phone is the first thing. Use safe passcodes. In Estonia, you can use ID card, mobile ID to log in because this is a safe way to do it. So smart device security or safety is a really important point now.
Yeah, I was thinking in the last 2 years, we've been involved with EGA in a project called DRIVE, which is Digital Research and Impact for Vulnerable E-Citizens, a project in Ukraine and Georgia, where we, through different civil society organizations, developed a lot of smaller proposals and pilot projects to deal with digital vulnerability in Georgia and in Ukraine. And none of the sort of small approaches, none of them were about like, you know, how to open your phone or sort of like technical things, how to replace your memory card or something. Most of them were focusing on online security, like you said, cyber hygiene, and first and mostly on mis and mal and disinformation. That's where it's not even a digital skill. It's a skill, right? But because it happens online and because so much happens on social media, we define it as a digital skill, right? So this I saw it a lot, how that is something that, for example, many parents in Georgia were struggling because they didn't know how to support the children. They weren't sure what their children were doing online. And rather than learning and empowering their children, they said, no, you're not supposed to use the phone anymore, or delete all those apps and don't do that. So when empowered, well, they became their best buddies with their children in trying to together understand and analyze what mal or des or misinformation is. And it actually also improved their relationship through digital skills. Interesting, isn't it? And the motivation became very different.
Yes, you mentioned that digital skills, that misinformation is not so much a skill, but...
not a digital skill
yes,
as such.
Yes,
as,
yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. Because we used to talk about IT skills or ICT skills. Then we turn to digital skills. It's digital competencies, but I think everything is online, is like digital skills. For example, if we work on a government level, helping other countries to be more digital... we are often asked about what digital skills we need for citizens or for public sector. And for public sector to perform or implement digital transformation, you need business analysis, you need service design, and so on. Well, no, not digital skills.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But they're like part of digital skills. So as we started this conversation this morning, digital skills, it's really like a wide phrase, and it's... doesn't have one definition.
Absolutely. But I would say that in Estonia, we have done pretty well, right? Also because of our Tiger Leap and because we are using EIDs and so on. But tell us, Kristi, a little bit about what some of the Estonian examples that we have done really well. And also then say a few words about how you got involved in this field, because you have been part of some of those really cool stories that Estonia has to share.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, I could talk hours about this, but from Estonia, you mentioned Tiger Leap. Tiger Leap program was meant for schools, digitalizing schools and teaching teachers how to use ICT and tools. At the same time, it was about 20 years ago, private companies decided that they will also help Estonia become more digitalized. And they set up an NGO called Look at World Foundation. Biggest Estonian telecom companies, banks, ICT companies, training companies. So Look at World Foundation in more than 20 years provided free of charge trainings for citizens in a basic level, advanced level, IT expert level, also digital clubs for kids. So, and I think this public-private partnership played a huge role in digitalizing Estonia, because after that, our citizens could participate in the trainings. They knew how to use it. They knew how to use the e-services provided by banks and telecom companies and also governments. They knew how to be safe online using ID card or mobile ID. And Look at World Foundation had two big training programs in both. 10% of Estonian adult population got trained. Actually, mm-hmm. they participated in training voluntarily. So they had a mindset and they had a possibility to go trainings all over Estonia. So, and you ask my role.
Yeah.
I worked for Look at World Foundation more than 10 years, and it was a magnificent time. And looking back, I see maybe a tiny bit of me also in those activities, and it was great. But it's about public and private partnership, because it's not only government responsibility to provide skills trainings for adults, for example.
And this is an interesting case, the Look at the World Foundation, because it's actually a public-private partnership, but it's a sort of a triangular relationship, because you have business services like e-banking, okay, giving money to the non-profit organization which organizes the training, which is an NGO or a civil society organization. And then you have a government sort of request to do it, right? Because Estonia wanted to become more and more digital. And when working with a business and working with a non-profit, they managed it. So it's actually quite an amazing work, what to do together, not just only one public, one private, but actually two private and one public. And I have a numbers in front of me. I'm sure you know them better by heart. But it says here in my notes that between 2002 and 2004, there was 100% growth in internet and e-banking use because of Look at the World.
Yes, yes.
100%.
Yes.
That is scary. Yes. And excellent in many ways,
yes,
isn't it?
This mm-hmm. is. Absolutely. And actually, yeah, you mentioned public-private partnership. It was agreed with government and our private companies that our government will focus on schools, teachers, infrastructure, legislation, and the private companies will take the citizens' part, how to move people from offline services to online services. Mm-hmm. So it was agreed. And most of activities in Look at World Foundation were privately funded. So.
But Kristi, tell me, we talked about how we, you know, helped citizens. Look at the World was one example. There were probably a lot of other civil society organizations who did their part. They weren't digital CSOs, right? But they were doing their own thing. They were maybe people with disabilities, but they made sure that their members, the digital skills are enhanced. But how has Estonia managed to get its politicians and civil servants to the level that they get it? They have not been really opposing the digital transformation that Estonia has undergone. Do we have a secret there as well?
This is the first part of digital skills mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think we have had that mindset for 20 years. But how did we get there? We talked a lot at the beginning of 20, 25 years ago. Where should Estonia go? We talked and discussed, argued which way to go, which road to take. And it was about engaging all possible partners in that first phase. So we all did know where is our goal, where should we go.
And also as a new country, as a very small country, we were very poor, right?
Absolutely.
So going digital was almost like, there was no other way, right? And the other thing was also, yes, we are a small country, but that doesn't mean that that we have to be small when it comes to engagement, when it comes to actually making citizens count. So this was one way, having good digital skills so that people can be engaged in the decision making that affects their lives. This also became like a little bit like a mantra that the Estonian civil society organizations pushed very much, business associations pushed very much. And I would say also that the first governments we had at the beginning of 90s, middle of 90s, and at the beginning of 2000, very much sort of followed that logic that we can become big through engagement, through digital engagement. And as such, you need good skills and motivation to do it.
Yes, because nowadays we all know that we're digital and we will be digital. The question is about the additional digital skills we need, about how to use your smart TV or how to manage your Wi-Fi fridge or a smartphone, smartwatch. So there are other skills that are on a table and the future skills, and the constant learning in this world is really important.
And trust, right?
Yes.
That's another
yes.
thing that we trust digital solutions, but we also trust our government and our private sector and our nonprofit sector to provide good tools, and because we've never lied if something has gone wrong or hasn't been functioning and so on. So those keywords regarding motivation are really important. But in Estonia, what you talked and what we just discussed is that, yes, we have had amazingly positive social influence and very clear, tangible results, right? When we, you know, use digital tools mm-hmm. to do our daily banking, to do identification, to use services and so on. But it's not necessarily the case around the world. And that's what EGA does. EGA helps and supports other countries and their governments in their road to sort of more open and prosperous societies through digital transformation. Kristi, what has EGA done, particular regarding digital skills or doing projects where digital skills are in a very important position or place? I'm sure your answer is that they are in an important
yes.
place in every
yes.
project.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
But are there some it has been more prominent that you have been part of, for example?
Yes, well, EGA starts from policies and goes to grassroots level. And what we do in policy level, we add digital skills to different strategies and implementation plans. For example, from last year, we helped Kosovo government to develop its e-governance strategy for the next years. And it was recently proved also, this is an excellent idea. And one of the six cornerstones they have in strategy is capacity building, or actually it's digital skills. And in a wider perspective, it's about service design, business
right.
analysis, but also how public sector can use the services. This is a more like implementation, a strategy level. And maybe another example from this year is a project we did in Namibia. The project focused on strengthening digital skills and inclusion for citizens. So we developed digital skills training materials, delivered train of trainers in three different areas in Namibia, and we also delivered practical pilot trainings for citizens. So from developing strategy to actually delivering citizen trainings, so everything. But we do see that digital skills should
be everywhere. And to your two good examples in Kosovo and Namibia, let me add one more that we actually do starting from this year in Estonia. We work with local Ukrainian people, 60 people altogether, who we empower to become digital envoys and who in their turn go and support 1,000 digitally vulnerable Ukrainians who live in Estonia currently, who might be war refugees, people who have come here before but are not able to use Estonian e-services or Ukrainian e-services. So we have this multiplying effect where we train local people who in their turn go and train and do social media and awareness campaigns and among another 10,000 Ukrainians. And that's quite unusual because EGA doesn't really do a lot of things in Estonia. So happy to bring Estonian, Ukrainian example also next to Kosovo and Namibia.
Absolutely. And there's a sustainability that you train
That's
the trainers and
exactly.
they can share.
It's a multiplying effect,
yes,
and sustainability
absolutely.
Effect, which are both important, right? And you make it relevant to them.
Absolutely. Because mm-hmm. if we talk digital skills, There are skills how to use computers, how to be safe online. But every time we go somewhere, we localize them. We understand the country,
very true.
Our clients, and find out what is most important to them, because we can't teach everything at the same time.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, in this Ukrainian thing project, we are also using service design method for our digital envoys to think how they're going to approach those 1,000 people, right? Because the best way to do it is to make it relevant to people, right? You save time, you save money, you don't have to stand in line, and voila, you know, your banking is done. So let's hope that we can make the life a little bit at least easier for the Ukrainian folks also who are currently living in Estonia. But Kristi, to conclude our chat today, I have one more question to you, because you already mentioned it briefly, but digital skills have changed, right? When we talked about, you know, 25 years ago, we talked about a computer. And for me, yes. I mean, I thought initially that the computer is just a very elegant typing machine. And I think I still look at my laptop and think it's actually a very elegant typing machine. But nowadays, we talk about something else. So what sort of digital skills of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that you can sort of explain that development a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Digital skills 20 years ago. Look at World Foundation example that at that time we had 8-hour trainings how to use computers. So how you turn it on, what is a button, what is a mouse, don't pick it up, how to use a keyboard, what is inside the computer. Kristina, do you know what is inside a computer?
Yes, I've actually seen it once open.
Okay.
Yeah.
But at those trainings, we taught people to understand all that hardware. We do not do that anymore. It's not important, because computers is for everyday life. You have to know how to use it. So nowadays, digital skills are, I think the most important one is finding information online. And second one is being safe online.
Right.
So two things. And using services and also be more comfortable in online world. And more you use, the more comfortable you get. But tomorrow, well, we already have robots. We have home appliances that are online, and you can control them over the internet. You have your smartwatches telling everything, but you also this is a computer. Tomorrow, we will have more artificial intelligence when you can actually understand or know. So, and super smart computers. So, as I mentioned before, we need to learn all the time, needs. And where this mindset comes that why we need to learn, because we do need, and it takes time. It doesn't work that you learn your computer stuff at school or university, mm-hmm. and that's it. You're learning every day.
Right. And maybe what we, like, you know, also need to learn more how to protect yourself. And I don't also mean only cybersecurity, but also I looked at some of the PISA test of yesterday. And the truth is that Estonian children, for example, spend so much time, much more doing entertainment on their phone than they do schoolwork. And it's actually affecting their study results and their personal growth and development results. So I don't want to have, you know, a gloom and doom here, but maybe one of the things we need to learn for tomorrow is also how to have smart digital skills, not just to be there all the time, you know, fearing that I'm missing out something, but how mm-hmm. to use all those tools and solutions smartly for your personal growth.
Absolutely. You mentioned that young people and digital skills and online safety. The survey we did in Estonia 10 years ago about awareness or understanding online safety, the target group of kids, the young ones until 7 years old, we said that the biggest online safety problem is that the eyesight. Their mothers, parents tell them that if you are online all the time, you will lose your eyesight, or you will get glasses, like actually we have. It means that they didn't actually have an understanding what online safety is or what problems can arise from that one. But
that's a very, in one way, very worrisome, but at the same time, also a good thing to know, because that shows that the learning, the skill learning shift, or the skills also are shifting. And we also need to pay attention to that the same way, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Kristi. It's been very interesting to hear about what you have been doing and what Estonia has been doing and what EGA is doing. And I hope for our listeners that we explained that digital skills indeed can be about how to operate the mouse and how to open the computer. But it's more about learning all the time and making the digital skills or making the digital solutions work for you, and so that they drive our intrinsic motivation to learn all the time and not see it as a threat. And that's what digital transformation can really bring that benefit for us as societies and as states. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to us. And stay tuned for the next episode in the Wintery Tallinn.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.